Jesus is risen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why are they there? Why is Peter there? Why are Thomas and Nathaniel, James, John, and a couple of other disciples there? What's going on? They're fishing again. These fishers of people are just fishing for fish. Now, it was Peter's idea to go back and fish, and the others kind of tagged along. The world had changed completely for these disciples. All right, they were no longer in that locked room. And truth be told, Jesus is risen. That happens a lot, all right, just to sort of warn, I didn't give you the warning earlier, all right? And even though Jesus is risen, he is not with them in the same way that he was before they came into Jerusalem. So Peter's confused. The rest of the disciples are equally confused. What's going on? What is expected of them? What are they supposed to do? And so when Peter says, let's go fish, it all sounded good. But I think that Peter had some other reasons for wanting to get out of Jerusalem and to do something familiar. Two major reasons were guilt and shame. Peter had denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times, just like Jesus had told him he would. Jesus had told Peter and the rest of the disciples what was going to happen, and Peter had arrogantly rejected that possibility, and then he did it still. Now, to be sure, Peter had run to the empty tomb. Peter was there in the locked room when Jesus appeared, granting peace, opening their minds, sending them out into the world. But Peter still had this guilt and shame. Jesus hadn't scolded anyone, not Thomas, not any of the others, not even Judas. But Peter still felt that guilt and shame. And so I believe that that is why Peter arranged for this fishing trip. After a long and unsuccessful night of fishing, the disciples are about 100 yards offshore when they see someone on the beach waiting for them. And then what happens next is almost a repeat of that call story for Peter and Andrew and James and John. There at the beginning of Luke's gospel, the story we heard during the season of Epiphany. In that story, Jesus was teaching, and he commandeered Peter's boat so that he could be out on the water and the crowd could press in all the way to the shore. When the teaching was over, Jesus asked if they could go out a little ways and cast their nets. Now, Peter was a seasoned fisherman, and he was reluctant to just go out and do that, but because it was Jesus, they cast their nets, and there was a great catch of fish. Here today, in our gospel story, a figure stood on shore. Yes, it was Jesus again. But that figure on shore kind of teases them because they hadn't caught anything all night. And so this figure recommends casting the net on the other side. So they do, and once again, a great catch of fish. Now, the similarities between those two events are going to start resonating for Peter, for James and John. And I'm sure they'd told the story often enough to their friends that the rest of the disciples are going to say, hey, wait a second. This is when they're all beginning to realize that it was Jesus on the beach. So once again, Peter gets his courage up, and he jumps out of the boat. It's not exactly like when Jesus had called to him as he was walking on the water and Peter took a step or two, but Peter made it, filled with guilt, filled with shame for how he had treated Jesus, how he had been more worried about his own self. So then he denied knowing the man who he had called Messiah and Son of God. Peter makes his way to shore and is greeted by Jesus, who was there by a charcoal fire. Now you see, this is where I believe Jesus begins Peter's restoration. Because Peter had sat by another charcoal fire in the courtyard of the high priest on the night when Jesus was arrested. Peter was warming himself over that charcoal fire with all of the others. And it was around that charcoal fire that Peter denied knowing Jesus. It was around that charcoal fire that all of his guilt and shame was born. And so Jesus invites Peter and all of the others to come and warm themselves by a new charcoal fire. Jesus also invites them to bring some of the fish they had so that they can eat together. Eating together was always important for Jesus, whether it was eating with the disciples, whether it was the Pharisees, whether it was tax collectors and sinners, whoever. Eating and sharing hospitality is one of the foundational ways that Jesus shows and shares the love of God with all people. It is in these moments of hospitality that all those other disciples knew that it was Jesus who was with them once again. They were there at that moment, and Jesus is risen. Now, when breakfast is over, Jesus turns to his rehabilitation of Peter in earnest. Simon, do you love me more than these? That's the question he asks. And in fact, Jesus asks this question not just once, but three times. One question for each of Peter's denials. Jesus is reaching out to Peter in love, in care, offering forgiveness and a new life of caring for and loving neighbors. Jesus is showing Peter that no matter his shame, no matter his guilt, he is forgiven. Jesus wants Peter to know that he is still a beloved child of God, free to follow Jesus into a world that needs God's love. Jesus is trying to restore Peter's faith and reconcile him with God once again. And so the first time Jesus asks, Simon, do you love me? Jesus asks it using the Greek word that is used for God's unconditional, sacrificial love. He says agape. Do you agape me? Because this is the love that Peter wished he had when he told Jesus that he would stand with him. This is the love that Peter had so arrogantly thought that he had before he denied Jesus. Peter's answer, you know I love you. But the word he uses is a love for a friend or family. It's the Greek word phileo. Peter knows that he didn't have that love of God, but he still loves Jesus. And so the final time Jesus asks that question, once again, no shame, no scolding. Jesus asks Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me like a brother? And Peter's answer is always yes. See, in that entire exchange, I believe that Peter is feeling the forgiveness that Jesus is granting in every one of Jesus' syllables. Peter also hears the call. Feed my lamb, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus is sending Peter and the others around them out into the world to care for the sheep in the good shepherd's flock, to love neighbors, to care for one another, to love as Jesus loved. The risen Christ has wiped away Peter's guilt and shame, reconciled him to God and to his fellow disciples, restored his faith, all by the forgiveness that his resurrection grants to all of us. Peter is then asked one last time, follow me. See, that's how that first story of the great catch of fish in Luke's gospel ends too. Jesus says, follow me, and they follow. We're here because Peter and his brother, because James and John and all of the rest of the disciples followed Jesus as they were able. This story of the first breakfast, different than the Last Supper, right, calls us as well. We didn't get to catch all of those fish. We didn't get to eat with Jesus that morning. But to us who still live with guilt and shame, who live with arrogance and feelings of superiority, Jesus comes and asks us if we love. Do we love Jesus? Do we love our mother and father, wife or husband? Do we love our children, aunts, uncles, cousins? Do we love our neighbors? Now, there are people out in the world who wonder, what in the world are you asking me that for? What would be in it for me? But for us, right here, We want to say, yes, Lord, we love you. We love them. We love all of them. And it may even be true right here and right now. But Jesus knows, and we know, that it doesn't always last. This is why Jesus comes to Peter today. This is why Jesus will come to us today at this table. The cross of Jesus, Christ, and the empty tomb are all about reconciliation, restoration. They are about forgiveness, so that we can go and enter the world today unburdened by guilt or shame, unburdened by arrogance or feelings of superiority, and instead go into the world with hope, making God's vision for a world of love into our mission every day. Jesus meets us where we are, like he did Peter in today's gospel story. There are days when we want to love with that agape love of God, that unconditional, sacrificial, freely given love of God. And then there are days where we can barely muster even giving a rip. Jesus stands beside us always with forgiveness, life, and salvation. The Holy Spirit fills us with guidance and inspiration. We get to live as children of God, and we get to follow Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord. Why? Because Jesus is risen. Amen.